This is Gabby, and you're listening to Love 101. Hi, and welcome to Love 101. I am here today with my beautiful friend, Meredith Morrison, who is an amazing certified sex coach. Welcome, Meredith.
Thank you so much, Gabby. It is such an honor to be here in this space with you today.
And we can start by just setting the scene over what kind of work you do, what it looks like, and who do you work with?
I am a certified sex coach. And what that means is that I work in a one-on-one capacity as well as in group settings like workshops and things of that nature. And I typically, I would say, work with people who identify as female, and I work with them on a myriad of things that they come to me with. That could be, issues around orgasm, pleasure. A lot of that ties into self-confidence and body image. And I just work with that person on a one-to-one basis until they feel fulfilled. There's no prescription on how many times we meet or anything like that. And we just kind of, I like to think of myself as working in like a solutions focused way. I love skills. I love teaching skills. I love helping people learn those skills to incorporate whatever we talk about and then come back and we kind of build a foundation and build on from there and how they can reach whatever goals that they have.
So it sounds like you're saying someone comes to you and says, I want to be able to do X, right? Reach orgasm in this way,
right,
or fix this. And then you connect the dots into, okay, this is what it would take. Let me walk with you there.
Right. And a lot of times that's a huge leap, right? And sometimes not, but a lot of times it is a huge leap. And so I say, let's unpack this and let's see what steps are needed to get there, because it isn't as clear cut as we would think. It's a comprehensive solution, right?
And so you must get something that I get a lot is it's never a dull day at the office.
Right. Yeah. And it's something different every time.
You're talking about intimacy, pleasure, sexuality, being in your body. Like that is also fascinating stories, right? And that's part of what we're doing here with everything, but relationships and sexuality in particular. I find that a breakthrough happens just by getting education or hearing someone else's story. Like you still have to do the work of connecting the dots, but your mind is so expanded. Or we get a permission slip when something is normalized. And that's part of what I'm doing with Love 101, is educating and giving out this free tools and explanation and resources. But also there's this component over just hearing our stories. That is why I share, and that's why I have you to share part of your story, because we know that by sharing our stories, we are normalizing, we are connecting, we know that we are not alone, we heal some shame, and we are just expanded by knowing that life can be done in so many different ways. So
definitely.
I would love to know for you, like, how did you get into becoming a sex coach? Was that always a passion of yours, like looking back at Little Mare, or has it been a winding road?
It's very interesting. And I laugh because it's funny thinking back onto it. Of course, like I wasn't just like, as a young kid, I want to be a sex coach, right? But I always knew that I had this desire to connect with people. And I always knew I had this desire to bring some sort of change to people. And you know, that manifested in many different ways. And I'm so grateful for all of the experiences that led me to be in this position. But it was definitely a windy road. At first, you know, going into college, I studied psychology thinking maybe I may be some kind of therapist or something along that realm. And it was in college that I had the opportunity to go abroad. And I was kind of like, looking to fill a credit, but I was like, I could do something that I'm interested in. And I had the opportunity to take a human sexuality class in Belgium, the Netherlands, and Denmark. And what we did on that trip was interview sex workers and look at public health systems in these countries and see how sex positive they are and how person-centered they are, and interview these sex workers that are like, I love my job. This job has awarded me the opportunity to learn new languages, to travel, to, you know, all these experiences that they had such a positive experience. And I understand that that's not the case for everyone. I understand that there are people who are not in that field willingly, but these women that I got to talk to and connect with blew my mind. I came back so charged back to the United States. Like, what are we going to do? How are we going to bring this here? Like, how can I incorporate this unconditional sex positivity into my life, into people that I connect with, into policy? Like, I was so charged up. And of course, it's like overwhelming when you come back with this kind of energy. And so I looked into programs in public health to try to see how I could fit that into my career. And I kind of landed into the realm of HIV prevention. And I pursued my master's degree in public health, maternal and child health, and then within that, sexual health, and really got involved heavily on one-on-one HIV prevention, like right as I decided that that was my path. And so here in Denver, I started doing testing, and I was obsessed with the opportunity to connect with people, hear their sexual history, hear their concerns, and of course, you know, offer them resources, and even just holding space. The opportunity to hold space for these people was just so amazing and so rewarding in a way that I didn't even realize at the time. And it wasn't until I was running a HIV prevention program at a local nonprofit here in Denver, that I was awarded the opportunity to pursue sex coaching. It always kind of seemed like a pipe dream to me, like, oh, I'll get there someday, or, you know, that'll happen along my path. But when it literally was offered to me, it was a deal I could not refuse. And so I was so grateful for that opportunity. And I took on that certificate right at the beginning of COVID. And I have just expanded my knowledge, expanded my learning, and really paired that with my direct experience talking with people. This is really where I was meant to land.
That was your calling.
Yeah, I know. I feel like that was a very long answer, but
no, I love that answer. I did not know that about Amsterdam and interviewing sex workers.
It could be very intense, but I mean, even in Belgium too, I didn't know that they had a red light district. And we went to, you know, live sex shows and got to talk with some of the performers. And yeah, I mean, just the overall just sex positivity. So we also, as a part of it, got paired with a host family, and we would go over and spend time with them and talk with them about, you know, what did conversations around sex sound like in your house? And they were like, it was normal. Like, it wasn't taboo. It's not, you know, of course they're not like talking about it every single night, but it's something that's just so already woven in their culture that it makes it so that it's not this big scary thing or big curious thing or big energized thing that people have this, you know, curiosity about, or this exploration, yes, or this, you know, big conversation. It was just so woven.
I love that you came back with that spark, because what happened is you got to see what is possible when we remove the charge of shame and taboo. And instead, it's just one more thing that people are educated and exists in the world, right? And I remember walking through Amsterdam, and I was just like, I just saw the main street, you know, the depth of it, right? Which of course, as you said, it must be a lot of different things, good and bad, but I would see the windows, and you see, like, of course, super hot, gorgeous women, and they're just like calling in. Some men are stopping, and some are just tourists like us. Yeah. But you see families walking by with children, men coming back from work, women coming home, right? And they are just, they're normal. Nothing is in risk. Nothing is seen badly.
Absolutely. And I think it's more of the tourists that were like looking at them like, yes, zoo animals or something, you know, with this like gaze of like, oh my God, I've never seen this. But people that live there, they're just coming and go walking through, like, this is a shortcut to get home or what have you. So yeah, that was really cool to see.
And also, you're weaving in something that I love, which is culture. Right. Yes. And I know that you know that I'm from Guatemala. I lived in Mexico. I'm here in the US, but I've traveled the world, right? Which is something that once you leave America and you see how other places are. I love that it lit the spark in you of, oh wow, how do we bring more of that here? Right? There's so much more.
And Gabby, I grew up in the South. I was born and raised in Texas, and I lived in Georgia, and sex was not talked about so positively in my whole upbringing. And it wasn't just like I think my parents did the best that they could given the information that they had, but it was the churches. Like, my first conversation around sex was at my church. Like, what? In the schools that would use, like, instead of just outright calling it a vulva or a penis, would use like pee-pee. And I'm like, no. Now I'm like, wow, I really want to change this narrative on how we're talking about it. We could talk about it in common terms. We can talk about it, you know, we don't have to make it this big old thing that we love to do here in the United States. And I will say that there are, you know, exceptions to the rule, but unfortunately, sex education here is just missing the mark.
And I love you're just dropping. We'll talk about more of how to course correct, but this is a great tip. Just this already. Using the normal medical terms, the correct terms, vagina, vulva, penis, right? Instead of like all these weird vajayjay and woohoo. And it gets weird. And part of what you're saying is, if we remove some of the charge, parents would be able to have these conversations in ways that are just educational, maybe a little bit weird, uncomfortable, right? But parents, teachers, humans, adults, even we, if we don't course correct, we make it weird to talk about sex, which makes it awkward, which raises that taboo, which leaves us at risk of misinformation, which affects our healthcare. Safety, health,
Absolutely.
pregnancy, sexual health, etc. So this is big. This is how we change the world.
Absolutely. And you and I are a part of it. Here we go. Let's go.
We're changing it. This is how it's, and so it is.
Yes, absolutely. And I love that it's happening right now in real time.
And I would love to steer us into, you mentioned just STDs. I know when I work with my clients, I work with women around dating. This is such a broad pond, right? Over how to have conversations before you have sex with someone. What happens if you're dating casually? Does casual sex mean that you don't have the right to even set agreements and boundaries around who you're sharing your body with? Have you seen a lot of that doubt and misinformation and fears too?
Absolutely, and specifically in the realm of sexually transmitted infections, I mean, that could get in the way of, you know, I want to, you know, have sex with this partner, but I don't know their status, or I'm worried about maybe my status, but I don't want to make that appointment. And that's something that can totally even interfere with being able to be present in your body in the moment, experiencing pleasure, right? I know that you have interviewed Rachel, who I've worked really closely with, and I love her definition of pleasure, that is intentional time spent with yourself in joy embodied. And that, I mean, so many things can come in the way of that. And understanding that, you know, pleasure doesn't, and this specifically in this case, pleasure does not have to mean orgasm, and pleasure a lot of the times doesn't. But just it, being intentional and experiencing that joy in your body, there's so many other things that are happening that can get in the way of us fully embracing that, fully being and experiencing pleasure. The potential risk of a STI is definitely one of them. I'm totally an advocate for having a slut year, right? So we're reclaiming slut, and I encourage all of my clients, friends, whomever, I'm like, if this is your calling and you want to have a bunch of casual sex, absolutely, because we learn so much from that, right? Like, we learn okay, well, I definitely don't like that, or maybe I do like this, or what have you. And I think that we learn a lot more about who we are, what kind of people we want to bring into our field, and and things like that. So I am totally an advocate for casual sex, but I can definitely understand where it can maybe bring a blockage into experiencing that pleasure.
Since you and I are on the topic of empowered sexuality,
Yeah.
that's what it's sounding like to me.
I love
How
that.
to really reclaim it, right? Reclaiming your slut year, reclaiming exploration, reclaiming your body as something worth of feeling pleasure, but also being cared for, and establishing just this empowerment over boundaries and access to me and my body in casual dating, right? We can set it in the scene of dating.
Yeah.
And what that means, because I'm thinking it's much clearer. I know we have a lot of ways to rationalize over, okay, if I'm in a relationship or a marriage, obviously it makes sense that I have to have conversations and that I do have the right to ask and agree around STDs and what we're doing, and it's a monogamous agreement, right? But however, I think that the line gets a little blurry with dating. What I hear a lot from women, never from men, which is something that says something already, right? But from women, it's like, I feel like I don't have a right to ask these kinds of questions because he's not my boyfriend. She's not my girlfriend. We're not in a relationship. And then what happens is I feel afraid. I don't know their STDs. I don't know if someone is involved. And so then, even though they might be really hot, I want to have good sex. I find myself being in my head, being worried about STDs, not knowing if someone else is involved, not knowing where we stand, which actually takes away from the experience. So you're not even having the good sex, which
Exactly.
sucks.
Exactly. And it's like, of course, everybody wants to enjoy sex, right? Like, everybody wants to
Yes.
enjoy pleasure. Everybody wants to enjoy that and feel that. And you're hitting it right on the nail. I had in this one book by Catherine Rowland, it's discussing the pleasure gap. The book is called The Pleasure Gap, right? And largely this is about heterosexual couples, but women have so many things going on that get in the way of experiencing pleasure: objectification, financial barriers, safety barriers. We're talking about, the potential of a sexually transmitted infection, as well as potential violence. We don't know who we're going to meet when we meet up with someone on Tinder or Bumble, what have you. And so women in particular in heterosexual relationships have to overcome all of these barriers to finally experience this sexual freedom. And men have way few barriers to go through to experience that sexual freedom. And so ultimately is that we are overcomplicating the female pleasure and oversimplifying male's pleasure. And I think that there is a happy medium, right? Like, I think that in our culture, we can change this narrative and create a safe space so that everybody can experience that, pleasure within their body.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that there's this gap. If I focus in on casual sex, for me, the misalignment comes from casual sex does not mean disrespect. Casual sex does not mean we don't even have conversations around this, right? Which I guess the depth of communication can only go as deep as the level of your self-worth and empowerment and tools. So we
Yeah.
can focus on that too, right, today.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that too is that something that we may not have in casual relationships, whether it is, whether you've known that person for a day or week, month, however long, and whatever that relationship looks like. I think that a huge component that should be considered and experiencing that sexual freedom that we were talking about is trust. And how can we build trust quickly, and how can we have trust with strangers, right? I feel like in my head, I'm picturing like little micro deposits, and trying something out just to see what reaction we get. Something like that can definitely help to build trust and help us find that mental safety to be able to release and have that sexual freedom.
Oh, I love the micro deposits. Yeah. So what you're saying is one thing that will get in the way of your pleasure, your just full experience of the moment and the connection and the sex is knowing that this is someone that you can trust. Right, with
Yeah.
your body, with your time. And that can totally come. Like, it could totally be that you meet someone, have a one night stand, have really hot sex, feel good afterwards, and that is it. And you can choose to go back or not, right? That
Right.
is fully possible, right? But for either, if you know that that leads to you getting attached and having more complicated feelings, or if that is not your reality, then something to look into is maybe you haven't had enough interactions to make
Yeah.
those micro deposits so that you actually feel safe enough,
Right.
and you actually built enough trust, which could be the other person is not giving you the trust, right? Or it could also be you just haven't been, I don't know, enough time, had enough
Right.
interactions, gone out enough times. Is that how you see it?
Definitely. And I think, I mean, you can build trust in someone and have a one night stand and never see them again and what have you. I think that, you know, and I'm in my mind, I think of this as a micro deposit into someone else. This could be a huge commitment, a huge, you know, thing for them to ask somebody, hey, what's your status? Have you gotten tested? You know, that's something if the reaction that you receive from that is disgust or how dare you ask me, what are you insinuating? What do you think? Am I dirty? Are you saying I'm dirty? If you get a negative reaction, well, that automatically breaks that trust right there. Okay, well, I can't even ask you about your health as it re relates to my health and get a positive reaction or get at least a neutral reaction. That's a way also that people can show us trust too. Like, you know, as a partner, if you're wanting to build that trust to somebody else, you can say, hey, by the I this may be a concern of yours, or it may be a question that you have for me. I just want to let you know off the bat, I was tested, you know, this long ago. Here are my results. I typically, you know, use a barriers condom, something like that, when I have sex. That is an immediate way that you can build trust with someone and make somebody feel safe and able to feel 100% in their body.
You just gave a huge permission slip, and I want to break it down so that it's super
Yeah.
clear, right? And you heard it first here, folks, from Meredith, our sex specialist, public health, right?
Yes.
This is valid. Like, if you need a permission slip, here it is. You are saying, if you are casually dating, no strings attached, she is not your partner, it's a casual thing. If you are wondering around, is it normal that I ask? Is it okay that I ask them about their health status, their STD status, about their sexual history activity? Is it allowed? The answer is fuck yes,
Absolutely.
hell, full body yes.
Yes. 10,000 billion percent. Yes. And that's also something that I'm trying to work through is how can we make that more
Yeah.
normal? Why even, like, I love that we're discussing this as a permission slip. And in a perfect, beautiful world where there's rainbows and unicorns, we wouldn't even have this conversation because it would be so freaking normal. And I talk to even my girlfriends, I mean, friends that come to me and tell me their experiences, like, yeah, I wish I would have had that conversation. And it's like, girl, what, you know, why are we doing this? And also, why does it largely fall on us?
Exactly.
But you have 10,000 billion bajillion percent permission. And I hope that whoever is listening to this can feel empowered to bring that
Yeah.
up for your own safety and also to build that trust, because I want everybody who wants an orgasm gets one. Everybody who wants pleasure gets it. You are allowed and able to have and experience pleasure.
And so, because the question would be, but Meredith, they're not in a relationship with me. But is this, are they going to think that I am being weird, that I'm pressuring them, that I'm asking?
Anybody who thinks that that's weird, goodbye, adios. Like, we don't need that in our field, right? Like, this is something, this is a requirement. Like, think of it as a requirement on your checklist to experience pleasure, right? Like, I need to feel trust, and this is a bare minimum trust, right? We're not asking someone to commit, you know, their firstborn child to us. We're not asking somebody to commit even a date or anything. You know, if that's not your mission, that's a-okay. We're asking someone to be upfront and honest about their health as it pertains to your health.
Exactly. It affects your health. That's a big distinction, right? You are not pressuring them into a date or a relationship. This is not you controlling. You're not even asking them anything more than information. You're not asking them to give you, right? You're not trying to control their situation. You are asking something as they will access your body and it affects you, right? Because then the natural question, which we'll go to, is how to have this conversation, right? But it's like, I love that part of the obsessing over casual dating sex is how free would you feel with your experiences and your dating exploration? Like, there are phases in dating where you could be an exploration slut phase, right? How free would you feel and how much more would you enjoy? Which then takes you into personal responsibility. It sounds like you're saying, okay, the commitment is you also need to get tested and like be upfront with the information if you want to ethically open up this just open conversation in a way that supports health, sexual health, but then also higher quality relationships and higher quality conversation and communication, right?
Absolutely. And I can guarantee you from personal experience, like, I know that this conversation is not easy. For someone who's been in this realm for as long as I have and, you know, had life experience, it becomes easier over time. And once you have that, all it takes is one really good experience. It could be a one-night stand, you meet somebody at a bar, whatever it is, you enjoy your time and then you never talk to them again. If you experience 100% full sexual freedom in that experience, you will never want to go back. You're like, of course I want this every time. So if someone meets me with resistance, well, okay, I don't want that because I know what I want and I know that it's good. And this is what is calling to me. So yeah, it makes it easier over time for sure.
I love that. I love that because you're painting the picture of what it looks like. It's at first you're like, what? I can't do that. And then you're like, okay, I got this permission slip. Now let me have a few tools around the words I'll say, and then it'll be hard. And then it'll be hard a couple times. But then once you have one good experience, that empowerment will ripple out throughout your life. And you'll realize, like, of course, this is part of building higher quality relationships, but it's also part of building self-trust.
Yes. And it infiltrates in other dimensions of your life. Like, you do not even know. I mean, it makes other relationships, it makes your friendships more fruitful. Once you're like, hey, I know how to build that trust. I know how to have these hard conversations. Having that, you feel so empowered and you feel this spark and you just want to infiltrate it in every other aspect of your life. I mean, it really is like a level up. You're like, okay, I got this.
If you can communicate an empowerment with your sexual life, you can talk about anything.
Absolutely.
Right? If you're able to look a date, like casual one night stand, in the eye and say, hey, what's your status and what are you looking for? Are you involved with something? This is what I like. This is what I'm not available for. No, thank you. Yes, please. Let me guide you.
Yeah.
Then you can see how that woman will not take any bullshit from her boss and be comfortable to ask for a raise at work and be comfortable to say to a friend, hey, you know, I don't appreciate when you do X, Y, and Z, but I love you anyway, right? It's like, it's so powerful.
Absolutely.
But it's also love. It's also freedom. It's also freeing resentment. It's just part of, like, you're a whole new woman.
I love that this is where this conversation's going, because it's so, that is exactly the essence of this. And it doesn't, like, it, of course it could start with talking about your sexual wellness and then it turns into, well, I like being spanked, or this is my toy and I want to show you how I use it, or tell me how you like to be experienced pleasure and I'll tell you, you know, and it opens up so many opportunities and brings this sense of empowerment to where you are having the sex that you want. You're not having the sex that you think that you should have. You're having the sex that you want and that you deserve.
Oh, I love that you're bringing in this, because it's this is the only way that you would actually get the sex that you desire and the exploration and the permission slip and the trust to actually trial and error and explore and be curious to then know what kind of sex I want.
And it's low stakes, right? Especially with casual sex. Like, okay, worst case scenario, they're not into it. Goodbye. Like, do not need that.
Yeah.
And you move on, try another one. I mean, there's so many people that would be interested in fulfilling your desires and interested in what you have to say about your pleasure. And even in relationships too, like if what you're putting on the line is your pleasure, of course you want to experience that. And your partner, if you are in a, you know, more long-term committed relationship, your partner should also want to meet you in the middle and understand where you're coming from and what your needs are.
Yes, you're if it's a healthy relationship, your partner want to give you more pleasure and vice versa. You'll want to give each other more and better over time and take care of each other, right? Which is a trust piece that you're mentioning. And I'm seeing how this is part of setting up these conversations is the gateway for all this, is what you're
Yes.
saying, right? And can we give a bit of a framework over the things that are normal to ask, right? You're
Yeah.
saying it's normal to ask if someone has had that sexual health check, STD status. It's normal to share that you have and when and what was the feedback,
Yeah.
right? I say it's also normal to ask if they're involved with someone else that could be affected with you playing with them sexually, right? It's
Right.
human relationship. Is there someone else in their life, right? It's also normal to ask what they're looking for and just expecting without it having to be a whole what are we conversation.
Right.
Just more like where are you at in this dating moment, right, today?
And what are your expectations? And I mean, I love to say that I'm not gonna prescribe whatever is normal, because that's not whatever's normal to me may be looking completely different to someone else and whatever their normal is. But absolutely, if we are giving folks permission here, you have permission to express your desires, to ask expectations, to set expectations, and to discuss sexual wellness. I mean, that goes beyond just sexual health. I mean, it's how frequently are you looking to hook up? I mean, do I have the time commitment for this? You know, is this just a one night stand? Cool. I know that going in, we're both on the same page. Absolutely. It's more than just we'll practice some of these things to say, right? And it's more than just
Yeah.
that. It's building, how do I have this self-confidence? How do I tap into my body? How do I check in with my gut? How am I feeling right now? Okay. And then I can really hone into this empowerment that I have, because I flex that on a Wednesday morning when I choose myself over, you know, stress. I choose myself over an ex that's, you know, blowing my phone up. I choose myself. How do we always tap into that place? And if that's the part that's building the foundation, and that is really what where I see light bulb moments. It's like, oh yeah, like conversations, you can practice those, which I think practicing is totally important. Practicing with people, you know, flexing that muscle is totally important, but it's building the foundation. Where does that come from? Where does that power, where does that strength come from? It comes from within. It comes from tapping into your empowerment and your self-confidence and your relationship with yourself.
It's you wove in an important piece over like exploration, kink meaning anything that feels fun, exciting, taboo, different for you, which could be a realm of different things, right?
Yeah.
But something like toys, vibrators, spanking, blindfolding, porn, what are the biggest blocks that you see around asking, receiving, exploring that? I know you also manage this language around blocks, around pleasure. What are the biggest blocks that you see that get in the way?
I will say a lot of it is society and culture that
Of course.
feed to our us living above the shoulders, which is you're living in your brain, right? You're stuck in your mind and not allowing ourselves to trust ourselves and our bodies. I think that is a huge, huge component into blocking that pleasure, because when we're in our head thinking about, you know, well, what does this mean? Also, you know, pretty typically a lot of people in heterosexual relationships, the woman will come and say, well, I'm worried about what are we going to have for dinner tonight? Will the dog's food get picked up? Will, whatever have you, whatever life throws at us, I'm thinking about that. So how could I even possibly think about enjoying sex right now when I'm thinking about all of these other things? Plus on top of it, do my tits look good? Am I sucking in? Is he attracted to me? Am I, wow, how overwhelming are these things that just
So many
inundate us on a
things in
daily
your brain.
basis? And we are so easy to just tag along and let that take control. And instead, I always encourage my clients, try as best as you can to put that away for just a brief moment and to truly try to feel in your body. And that can come from many different skills, right? And I wish we could sit here and talk for a whole year about it. But just the basic bare minimum would be, if you're unfamiliar with meditation, maybe trying, a 5-minute meditation. What does that feel like to kind of tune your brain off for a second and feel in your body? What does that feel like? And how can you take that energy and bring it into whenever you want to have sex? That is like the bare minimum 101 quick and easy tip that I love to have people start with. And they're like, well, I've always heard about meditation, but how does that relate to sex? Yeah. Or how does that relate to sex? And I'm like, well, it actually relates to being in your body, which is how we experience pleasure is in our body.
Yeah. And you just highlighted the flexing of the muscle, right? Which includes the noticing, but then also the being in the body.
Yeah.
It sounds like those are the things that you are recommending for practice every day. When you notice something comes up, when you need to speak up in a work meeting, or when you are correcting your partner, or you're asking for something you need, or you know that you should do something, say something, but you're not noticing, then you'll start to notice the pattern, right? And I hear my clients say, like, I went from not knowing into noticing, maybe wanting to say something and not doing it.
Yeah.
Which is when we still are afraid. And then there's a lot of fears and blocks, which come with like, don't want to pressure their partner or pressure a date or have a confrontation or feel like someone is rejecting us, right? Or looking silly are a lot of the ones I hear. But just the noticing, the taking the deep breath, noticing how it shows up in your body, right? It could be like a weight on your chest. It could be a knot in your stomach. That feeling of, I want to say something, speak up, stand up for myself, and I didn't do it. Eventually, if you're looking, it gets really loud and clear.
Yeah.
Really loud and clear.
And what that kind of brings up for me is just reiterating that intimacy and pleasure is fostered outside of the bedroom, and it begins with yourself. And what it also brings to me is, I think you should do a meditation to help
love to.
people get into their bodies. I mean, I'm just saying, setting this up for you.
That was so beautifully said. Intimacy and pleasure is an inside job.
Yes.
It starts with yourself, and it's created, grown, fostered, nurtured outside of the bedroom.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a huge takeaway that so many people don't fully understand, especially people that are in committed relationships for a long time. And they're like, well, I don't know. Like, we just kind of go about our days and we have our roles, and I don't know why we're not having sex. It's like, well, do you have those intimate moments outside of the bedroom? Do you have those, that effort that you put forward in your relationship? And also, are you taking care of yourself? Are you more than just someone's wife or husband or mom or, daughter? Are you more than just that role? Are you really checking in with yourself and seeing, what am I doing to nurture this love for myself, this pleasure for myself? And I'm not even saying like masturbating all the time, right? Like, am I taking a walk because I enjoy looking at nature? Am I taking the time to, do whatever it is? Am I taking that bath that I love? Am I doing small little micro deposits into ourselves to build that self-love?
Micro deposits into your own cup and filling it up is a big part of how then we move into exploration. If you mentioned
Absolutely.
before, like, oh, what if I want to tell my date that I like spanking, right? You would have to come from a moment of feeling empowered, clear, playful, creative, like those creative juices flowing so that you can actually show up and explore and reclaim. Do you see that a lot too?
Absolutely. And like we said before, I mean, once you really get honed in on that, it becomes so much easier over time. And it becomes so much more apparent on this is what I need in order to experience pleasure or in order to have whatever I have that I desire. It becomes so much more obvious.
And one big thing that I really appreciate from the kink community, like I know if people hear kink or BDSM, it seems like this huge umbrella of dungeons and chains and whips and like crazy shit, right? Which sure, that's what you see in a movie, right? But more so, it refers to having a sex positive experience, which means that everything is allowed, sex is celebrated, encouraged, but that is created throughout really open, explicit, conscious, respectful conversations.
Absolutely.
Right. It's never that you arrive at this exploration of trying new things without having that moment of the deep breath and the asking and the sharing and the setting boundaries and the being assertive. That is the bridge for that sex that you desire.
Absolutely. And getting crystal clear on what it is it that you desire. That's something that I work a lot with people is how. Okay, well, you think that okay, let's make a list. What do you desire and what do you think you may desire? Okay, well, what does that actually look like in your life? Let's get crystal clear. Let's really, and that takes trial and error a lot of times.
Mary, and this is a great one that I think our listeners could do right now because it's just for yourself, right? Like the sharing is a little more intimidating, but if you could just like with yourself, with a journal, or even just like with your notes app or your mind, brainstorm what you desire. And that's a big umbrella, right? What kind of things are we looking for? Is it like how you want to feel, what you actually want to play with sexually?
I
All
mean,
of the above.
I mean, that's for people to decide for themselves, right? I mean, something very, very basic is what do I desire in terms of what do I want to receive from people, It could go as in depth as to what kind of relationships do I want? What kind of people do I want to attract? I mean, you could create it in whatever you want, but really get crystal clear. And a lot of it is, I don't know, but I want to try. And in terms of potential, like when you're talking about, like, okay, maybe I want to try a position or I want to try something, different in the bedroom. This is a desire of mine to try something new, or maybe I do like this. I highly recommend looking up for a pleasure inventory, and it's really fun to do that as well with a partner. If you could probably just Google something like pleasure inventory, and there would be like a checklist. If you can't, DM me, and I have a couple that I've created. I'll send them out
Oh my
too.
gosh, I would love yours.
Yeah, definitely. And it is just a checklist and it gives you all these options and you could, go through your list and at least know like, okay, these are things that I do desire or I want to try or I want to bring in my life. And then it's really fun as well. If you have a partner, have them fill it out and then compare lists and see like, oh, I didn't realize that you like this or I like this and I didn't realize that I like this either or something like that. So yeah.
Oh, that's so huge. I think that we have so much just mystery. And I know for me, fear of being judged, right? Like the slut reclaiming that you're talking about is happening now, right? But when I was in college, that was the biggest insult. And mean girls trend, and it's so complex, right? That for me, when I did this kind of exploration, my husband and I did blueprints quiz,
yes,
which is a great tool, right? And so we did that. Is a free inventory on Jaya's website, which I love, and I can send to anyone that wants it. And then you pay like $20 to get the guide that sends you suggestions. And it was just some examples, right? So kind of like this pleasure inventory. And it said like ideas, because I know that it's a big umbrella term, but sometimes we need some examples to get our creative juices flowing.
Right.
And it was like, okay, what do you want to be blindfolded? What do you want? A massage? Do you want to be trying out with feathers, texture, soft texture? And I remember I was like, oh, texture, feathers would be nice, right? Something cold would be nice. And my husband was like, oh, wow, I would love that. And it's like, it's such a simple thing that maybe I wouldn't have brought up. And the fact that you do just opens up like, oh, wow. Okay, so now more. And you move on to the next thing. And then it just adds so much trust. But it also adds to your self-trust and assertiveness over like, yes, I'm reclaiming this desire, what feels good for me, right? And it also feeds into that is how you feel that you'll be able to grow romance over time and grow and just like have fun sex with one same person or however you decide, right? How many you want over time.
And it's a great, so to lean on to a tool is a great way to open up and start that conversation, right? You could say, oh, you know, you could come up with anything. Oh, I listened to this podcast and they mentioned pleasure inventory. It seems fun. Do you want to do it? You know, and that's not so threatening or not so scary to bring that up in a conversation than like, hey, I think I want to be spanked. And what are you making for dinner tonight? You know, like,
I love that distinction. How can we bring it up? Like, it could be several ways. You can just say, hey, honey, I've been thinking about our sex life. I would like to add a few just like super low key variety that we both decide, nothing crazy. Do you want to have a conversation about this on Friday over a bottle of wine?
Yeah.
That might be you, right?
Yeah.
That's my therapist voice, of course.
Definitely. Or it could be, Meredith told me so. So I need to do this pleasure inventory. I would love for you to do it with me. Isn't this fun and cheeky? Yeah. And you know, you can blame it on
us.
Whoever. Blame it on me. Blame it
on
Gabby
and Bert.
Whatever it needs to be. And if that's what it takes just to open that door, make it a little less scary for you.
I fully agree. And you could even, if you need the help, send this podcast episode to them and just write underneath, let me know what you think, winky face. And that's like a super way to manage your anxiety around like send it via text, right? And just start opening up a little more space for conversations. That's what it sounds like you're guiding us. Like just open up the door a little bit and you'll know like it. Wherever you are, there's a way to approach this so that you don't feel like this is it and it feels too daunting. And so you never do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that I know that you have a great guide. I think that our listeners might want to see the pleasure inventory. And you also have a PDF guide that highlights the common blocks to pleasure, which include trust and a lot of what we talked about. And I would love to have the last part of our talk talking about aftercare.
Ooh,
is also something that the kink conscious community gave me, which was like, never this. I did not learn this from couples therapists or like, no, I learned this from you and Rachel and people who are actively like just in this sex positive environment, which I love.
Yes, I think aftercare is so important. And it's something that, like you said, is not talked about nearly enough. And aftercare is important for both single people and folks in relationships. And that's also goes to a part of getting really clear on what you desire. Aftercare can look different for everyone. It could be that, hey, after we have sex, I would love for you to send me a text, you know, after I left, or I need physical touch. So I would love to cuddle and and just be naked and hang out. Or it could be like, I would love a review. Let me know how your experience was, and let's talk about what we liked and what we didn't like. Aftercare can look so different, and it's definitely a part in getting clear on your desires and getting clear on what you need, because I can't tell you what you need, right? I can't tell you what's normal, what you need, or what you desire, anything like that. That's totally an inside job. So highly recommend that folks that are interested in this stuff to really add it to a part of your list of desires.
Yes. So aftercare for me was the missing piece to just healthy, satisfying sex, even if it's like a one-time event. Aftercare means what is it that you would need after having sex, connection, intimacy? Like it doesn't have to be penetration, it could be whatever is sexual connection, right? What is it that you would need after so that you feel connected, supported, so that you don't feel that vulnerability hangover, right? So that you don't feel used, so that you don't feel like it's slam, bam, thank you, ma'am, kind of thing, which you can tell us more, right? But as I understand, it's weaved in very much in the kink community because sometimes you have these intense encounters that feel like, okay, I'm spanking you, or we're doing this like dominance play, and then that also leaves you a little vulnerable after, much more so than if you're just having like a quickie at home, right? So it means that you have an experience that is more sensation based, it feels more risky, you're turning on all your senses, you're going in deeper, is how I would say. You're giving someone access to you. It's not only physical, but it feels very emotional and vulnerable and connection-wise. So then you need a little more intention over how you hold each other and how you wrap up your time together, is kind of how I would say.
You're so right. And especially you like really nailed it with the vulnerability hangover. I mean, we're really putting ourselves out there, and like, especially if you try something new, it could really leave you feeling something to be desired whenever you just, okay, we're done. Oh, that's it. Like, you want some kind of bow on the box, something to really complete that, to make you feel like that cycle is complete and that you can go on with your life. Because sometimes whenever we don't have that, we end up, things end up coming down the line and you're like, dang, like I'm working and I can't focus because I don't feel like I had some kind of completion to this, or I feel extremely vulnerable right now, and I can't move on or do something else. So yeah, it's incredibly important, and some people's aftercare may look so different than yours, and it could change every single time. Whatever you need that day, that minute, I mean, it could really, really change, and honoring that and being okay with accepting, what are other people's needs? What are your partner's aftercare needs? And how can I show up in a way that also feels authentic to myself?
Yeah, and I think you mentioned some good examples because the most important thing is it can look like whatever, and there can be as many varieties as humans in the world. However, examples are helpful if we're just like, this is the first time you've heard of this concept. And then it could be like, okay, you hold me for 15 minutes after we have sex, naked, and we lie in bed, right? It could be like we chat about our experience, like you said, leave me a review and give me feedback. It could be like, I want you to stay over and us to go get coffee in the morning. Like we can walk over for coffee, and then you go home and send me a text, right? Or whatever. It's just like what you would need so that you feel that you can have that whole complete experience without the after taking away from the enjoying the experience, right? Because I get the question a lot over like, I want to have more wild, adventurous sex with someone, but if I don't have the trust, then I'm not able to like go there, right? And this is where the paradigm of relationships, it's like the more safety and connection you have, actually, the more adventurous you can get with your sexuality if you desire it. Maybe you don't, right? But if you do, if you're in a long-term partnership and you want to spice it up, actually, if you have a really close foundation of trust and you can say things, that means that you'll be able to even feel more comfortable as you're being adventurous, right? And even the same
Absolutely.
thing as a one night stand, right? It doesn't have to be a whole relationship. I can see a scenario where I could meet someone and have like 2 hours of deep conversation and intellectual connection and feel safe to have like, oh, a great one night stand, right? It's not so much time, it's that depth of trust and connection. But aftercare is a way of ensuring that you are getting that experience and not taking away. Because I've also heard like, oh, I had this fantasy and I played it out with kind of a new guy, new date, new woman, and it was not great. It
Yeah.
doesn't mean that your fantasy is not great, right?
Right.
Maybe it wasn't the person.
Absolutely. And aftercare can also look like this is what I'm going to do for myself, right? It doesn't, sometimes it may not work or it may not feel like you need something from the other person. And it could be this is what I'm going to do for my, this is my ritual. This is my commitment to myself afterwards. Because, yeah, I don't, you can't take it personally when something doesn't work out the way that it's not meant to. I mean, there's so many different reasons as to why those things can happen. And it is kind of a bummer, but it's like, okay, how can I leave this and accept it for what it is and move forward?
Oh, I love that you mentioned that because that is the biggest thing that you can anchor into, control, protect, and
Yep.
have more, influence over. So this is your homework. You can think of the aftercare that you need for yourself to enjoy if
Yes,
you're thinking like
definitely.
you want to explore, right?
I hope that we could do this again. And I hope that if anybody resonated with what we had to say, that they could find me and reach out. And yeah, I would love to connect with some of your audience. I do work with folks one-on-one. I
Yeah.
also facilitate group workshops. So yeah, that's kind of what I can leave you with today.
Oh, and I'll make sure to link your information, social media. I know you have the great guide, that PDF guide that people can
Yes.
reach out to you with.
Yes. So I do want to mention that as well. I did create
Yeah.
my first ever what I'm calling a good time guide, and I want to offer it to you all for free. If you want to reach out to me on Instagram, my handle is Integrative Intimacy, and I would love to send you that. It's a PDF and it really encapsulates everything that we've talked about today, plus some. And like Gabby says, really gives you some action steps to follow that may help jumpstart this journey, knowing that it isn't a one-stop cure-all, but something to really just start your journey into this sexual wellness realm.
Exactly. No, and I can hear your passion, and I know that we all have to take the feedback from our beautiful listeners and see if we have you on talking about kink, if we have you back talking about sex, if we have you back talking about reclaiming health, something along the lines that it
Yeah.
just feels like you're changing the world, which I
Oh,
know.
Gabby, same. Ditto to you because, and I'm so lucky to be in the same space as you at the same time.
Oh my gosh, I'm so grateful. And I'll give you a moment to think about just no pressure, like take a deep breath, and I'll ask you the last question that I ask all my guests. So the intention with Love 101 is to provide more tools, resources, and cracking the code on what makes relationships last. I know that you've done that by sharing your story and sharing such a wealth of knowledge. And so this is just more personal reflection question from you. What is it that you wish the world knew about love?
Wow, this is such a huge question. I think, and this may be controversial. I may get some flack for this, but I think love is effortful. Love is not effortless. I think that this is for platonic relationships, romantic relationships. Love takes effort in the sense that it does need those tough conversations. It needs watering. It needs nurturing. It needs growth and everything that is required to bring it growth. And I, when I first shared that sentiment to my partner, he was like, "What do you mean? Like, love should be easy. It should be effortless." And I'm like, "No, if I'm in it for the long haul, it's gonna take time, energy, effort, and everything else that comes with it. But that's for a good thing. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily bad. So.
And I think that it's a really good response because we talked about today how intentional it gets to be if you are actually devoted to your relationship, right? Injecting time, energy, resources. That is effort. That is how you build and create. It's an active word. It's not a passive state.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Autopilot just doesn't work.
Makes perfect sense. And it's good. It's good to know. I think that love is also for the brave, and you choose. You're choosing this. So if you're choosing to have an extraordinary, thriving love, this is what it takes. Right?
Absolutely.